The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Chemical weapons were used on a large scale in Syria against civilian populations. We have looked at all the evidence, and we do not believe the opposition possessed nuclear weapons of that, or chemical weapons of that sort. We do not believe that, given the delivery systems using rockets, that the opposition could have carried out these attacks. We have concluded that the Syrian government, in fact, carried these out. And if that's so, then there need to be international consequences.
That is the president. Good evening to the Savage Nation. And that is the president tonight, speaking, of course, to his friends in Izvestia, public broadcasting system, the Izvestia of America. And so Obama is, of course, building up for a strike against Syria. We all know that. And I have four questions for you tonight on the Savage Nation. Why is the U.S. threatening likely to attack Syria? In other words, why? Let's say, okay, it's an international. Let's say he's correct, which I'm not sure he is, that it was Assad himself who did it, because there are many, many people arguing that there was no validity to that for one reason. First of all, he's winning the war. Secondly, UN inspectors were on the ground when the attack allegedly occurred. And thirdly, it was likely to benefit not him, but his opponents. So, number one, why is the U.S. threatening and likely to attack Assad's military? Two, what will the targets be? He can't attack chemical weapons. If he does, they're going to explode and disseminate. So what will he attack? Civilian targets? I doubt it. So what will he attack? Military targets. Aha. That leads us to the next question. Using my Aristotelian logic, who is pushing Obama to go to war? Now, I'll give you a quote from Russian Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Rogozin when he said just yesterday, quote, "The West handles the Islamic world the way a monkey handles a grenade. I have my opinion, I've had my opinion of who's pulling the strings on this, and I'm afraid to tell you that my suspicions, which I have not divulged in this program until right now, have just been confirmed minutes ago. And I'll lay it on the line." So I'll lay the questions out again, and you'll see why I suspected the string puller, and you'll see who the string puller is. One, why is the U.S. threatening and likely to strike Syria? What will the targets be, and who is pushing Obama to go to war? The American people are not pushing him to go to war. 9% of the people are for it. That means 91% of the people are opposed to it. Britain, who was gung-ho until tonight, backed out. Cameron was told in no uncertain terms, "No, sir, you're not rushing to war." At least they have a putative democracy in England. We have no democracy whatsoever. No Congress, no democracy, no will of the people, no War Powers Act, nothing. We have a dictator. But Obama's acting like he's, you know, doing this for humanitarian reasons. Questions for you are numerous. Many questions. I mean, you should be asking yourself a number of questions. Who was behind this? Who's pushing him? Well, I suspected it was Israel all along. Why do I say that? Well, it just came out minutes ago that on Fox News, Israeli intelligence first confirmed Assad regime behind alleged chemical attack. I'll read that for those of you who don't know what I just said. Israeli intelligence first confirmed Assad regime behind alleged chemical attack. So you have to conclude that it's Israel pushing the United States and England and France and Italy and Germany to strike Assad. It's Israel again. So you have to ask yourself, and I consider myself a friend of Israel, what the hell are they doing here? Why does Israel want the United States to strike Assad's air force? Because that's the target. Obama's saying it's going to be cruise missiles at a certain number of targets. Targets won't be people. Targets won't be buildings, rather. They won't be civilians. They won't be the chemical weapons, even if they knew where they were. So they're going to be military targets. So it's Israel that wants Assad's air force neutralized. That's what's behind all of this. So that leads us to the next question. Why does Israel want to risk all of a throw of the dice, bringing Iran into the fold, antagonizing Russia and China, who have walked out of the UN Security Council meeting tonight? Why? What is Israel up to here? What the hell are they doing? Has Israel lost its mind? Is Israel that afraid of a weakened Assad's air force that they would risk a world war just to neutralize, what does he have, 50 airplanes? Are they that afraid of Assad's air force? I have to ask the question, because there seems to me that if we're hearing tonight that the initial confirmation that the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad was responsible for the suspected chemical weapons attack came from a tip from the Israeli intelligence service. Western intelligence sources tell Fox News tonight. A special unit of the Israeli Defense Force, an intelligence unit that goes by the number 8200, which is a military intelligence listening unit, has been cooperating with the NSA, sources tell Fox News. I'm giving you the latest news there is. This Israeli intelligence unit helped provide the intelligence intercepts that allowed the White House last weekend to conclude that the Assad regime was behind the attack. Well, I won't read you the rest of the article, because we still don't know if it's true. What we know is true is that Israel's deeply involved in the war drum beating, in the beating of the war drums. That's number one. That's for sure. We're also pretty sure that Israel wants Assad's air force neutralized with our cruise missiles. So you say to yourself, well, wait a minute. Assad's no friend of Israel, but he's not at war with Israel. Whereas if Assad falls and the al-Qaeda elements in the opposition take control of Syria, won't Israel have a bigger problem on their hands? The answer is no. See, that's the chess game you have to understand. The Israelis, highly acclaimed for their brilliance, have concluded that they'd rather fight a ragtag bunch of terrorists like Hezbollah without an air force to worry about than to fight Assad with an air force. So they figure, let the world be damned. Let's have a little world war. What do I care? Let's take out Assad's air force. This is the kind of myopic thinking that's going on in the world today, where, you know, and not only does everyone put their own interests ahead of the next man and the betterment of the family and the nation and the world, but now nations, of course, are putting their own self-interests ahead of the whole world. It's egotism. It's narcissism on a global scale. One man's opinion. If you care to comment on this topic of the United States threatening and very, very likely to attack Syria, would you like me to tell you when it will happen? Yeah, I have an undershirt and I'm sitting on the third floor of an apartment on 3rd Avenue in Manhattan. And my guess is, looking at the people scurrying by to go to Bloomingdale's, is that Obama will do this on Friday evening when everyone's on the road or on the way to a lobster dinner in Provincetown. He will strike on Friday night while the people are drunk like drunken pigs on their Labor Day weekend. There is no Congress in town. There's no people in town. There's no press in town. There's nobody in town except Obama and talk radio. The phone number is 855-407-2822. If you care to join the conversation, this is the last word in talk radio, the Savage Nation. At the turn of the hour, I'll give you all of the latest news. Let's begin in New York City on WABC. Lisa, your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Michael. Yes, I believe that when you ask the question, the puppeteer is George Soros, because he's famous for the, we know he's behind, he's part of the Obama brain, and
wait, I just disclosed to you that it was Israeli intelligence who's taking credit for having told Obama it was Assad who launched the chemical weapons. Soros is no friend of Israel.
That's a ruse, I believe. I believe that's a ruse. That's my opinion. I think.
Wait, but which, hold it. Which part of it is a ruse? Which one?
Saying it's Israel behind it.
You mean Soros is telling Israel to come out and say they're the ones behind the intelligence?
Pardon me?
You think Soros is telling Israel to take credit for the intelligence?
No. I think that's a pretend statement issued by our government. And Netanyahu.
Wait, hold on. You just took a very deep breath. What do you mean by our government? It's Israel that just made the statement, not our government. Came from a tip from the Israeli intelligence service. Western intelligence sources tell Fox News. They even named the unit in the Israeli Defense Forces. The unit is called 8200, a military intelligence listening unit. Now, I don't agree with you that it's Soros again. I know Soros is, in my opinion, the most dangerous man on the planet. But if anything, Soros would not want Obama to strike Syria. How does Soros benefit by that? What does he have, some investment in the Syrian currency?
Well, he helped foment, fund, and start the Arab Spring a couple of years ago.
That he did. That's right. In my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, I have a whole chapter on that. That is right. He's the mastermind behind the Arab Spring. So you mean he wants Assad out so we can have a blossoming of al-Qaeda now in Syria?
Well, it just will help foment out of order, out of chaos, order will come. And he wants the New World Order, and he takes great pride and pleasure in bringing down countries. That's just my
All right, well, look, I don't think you're alone in your suspicions that someone's pulling Obama's string here. Obama sounds flummoxed by it all. He even called them nuclear weapons tonight instead of chemical weapons. He seems like way over his head with this one. And I thank you for calling the program. Neil, please play the next. This speech came in moments ago, the next Obama clip in the series.
First of all, I have not made a decision. I have gotten options from our military. And so let me talk about what's at stake here. The Assad regime there has been killing its own people by the tens of thousands. That there are sectarian arguments that have spilled over into bloodshed and have escalated over the last couple of years. And although what's happened there is tragic, and although I have called for Assad to leave and make sure that we've got a transitional government that could be inclusive in Syria, what I've also concluded is that direct military engagement, involvement in a civil war in Syria would not help the situation on the ground.
So he wants an inclusive government in Syria. Mr. Obama, how about an inclusive government in America? How about a few members of the Tea Party occasionally being listened to instead of the street vermin that you seem to listen to on a regular basis, the rap artists and the garbage that you invite into the White House? How about a little inclusion into your thinking instead of the same left-wing fanatics and drug addicts that seem to march in and out of the White House? I'd like some inclusive activity in my own country. So here we are again, this same left-wing rhetoric coming out of the president, and this time, though, it's not tied into some social disorder or social engineering. Now it's tied into meddling in foreign affairs where there doesn't seem to be any U.S. interests at all. As far as I am concerned, I do not understand what the U.S. interest is in bombing Syria. Remember, Russia and China have walked out of the United Nations just tonight. Maybe you didn't hear that while you're on the way to the grocery store to pick up a Trun's ham for the weekend. Syria was not on anyone's mind except at the UN. And for those of us in talk radio and those of us on the Internet who are still very actively involved in world affairs, our Congress are a bunch of old drunks, nowhere to be found. They're what, they're on vacation? They can't come back? Are you kidding me? This is a government? This is not a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. This is a government of the sheeple, by the sheeple, and for the sheeple. And I'm Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
That an essential international norm has been violated. Chemical weapons have been used. Everyone acknowledges their use. No one doubts that innocent men, women, and children.
We got it. Joe Biden, I can't even listen to it. He's such a phony, it's frightening. Even if he's telling the truth, he gets me sick. Well, here we are, Mr. Peacenik. The Nobel Prize winner is about to launch a war over the Labor Day weekend with no Congress. No, Congress is not in session. The people are not in session. The press is not in session. Seems we've gone from cruising to cruise missiles in one generation. We've gone from cruise ships to cruise missiles in one presidency. And who's pulling Obama's strings? It looks to me like it's Israel. There's a full press campaign on the part of the Israeli government to have the United States again act like a Hessian force to take out the Syrian Air Force. The Israelis do not fear the ragtag rebel groups who have no real heavy weapons. They have light weapons. And they figure they're not an issue, so take out the Air Force while we can. And then Syria is neutralized. It's the taking of the Middle East 1-2-3. I don't blame them. If you can get America and France and Italy and Germany to act for you and they're foolish enough to risk a third world war, why not? Why not? Put your own interests ahead of the world. What do you care? That's my opinion. And I'm pissed off, frankly. I'm sick of this slavish worship of Israel. I've supported Israel, but not at all costs. And it's not Israel above America. I'll be very clear with you. No, it's America first, and Israel's the tail, not the dog. with a dog, they're the tail. And I'm sick and tired of America being yanked around like we're the tail and they're the dog. I mean, who's wagging the dog here? Who's wagging the dog? We're the dog. So you thought Obama was different. You thought Obama was a Muslim. You thought Obama was a member of a this and that. Come on. He's a fanatic left-wing activist, could care less about international affairs. All he cares about is gay rights, immigration, you know, and granting amnesty to illegals so there's no America left. And that'll be his legacy. That's all. He could give a damn less about the Middle East. So whoever put him in power wants their payback. It's one man's opinion. It's only a talk show. Make believe I'm just a loudmouth in a candy store that you don't have to listen to. Go ahead. See if I care. Well, it's the difference between me and a guy in a soapbox in Union Square 70 years ago. A little difference, but after all, we live in a free country. It's one man's opinion. If Peter King, that blowhard, can get up there and lick Obama's boots on a daily basis. Did you hear Peter King, the former Republican, now a gelding from Long Island? You got to hear Peter King now. He's like a little mini-me Chris Christie. Peter King of Long Island has become a mini-me Chris Christie. God only knows why. Listen to clip number one.
The threat is, it's two. One, I think chemical weapons are a threat to everyone. Once that line has been crossed, that puts the entire world at risk as far as the threshold being crossed.
Oh, nonsense.
Has to be taken. But more than that, is this will so strengthen Iran. You will have almost this axis of Iran and Syria.
Which
the entire Middle East. Because then you have Iraq in there, and Iraq now has given its airspace to Iran. If we don't stop this right now, I see just Iran becoming the dominant power in the Middle East.
You see Iran becoming the dominant power in the Middle East? The time is up already. So here we go with the domino theory again. The domino theory. All over again. Suddenly it's 1969. It's unbelievable to me. Nothing changes in this country. The war powers, the war party is in power and has never left power. And the rest is just icing on the cake. You want gay marriage, take gay marriage. You want immigrants in your soup, have immigrants, as long as you continue to let us wag the dog. That's all. And send the money.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, under the Constitution, the president has the right to take action, I believe. And they've done it going back to Ronald Reagan with Grenada. They said Eisenhower with Lebanon. We can go back to President Clinton in Bosnia and Kosovo. He went ahead. He can do it. He has the constitutional right to do it.
What a shame. I used to think Peter King was the real McCoy. And now I find out he's nothing. He's a mini-me Chris Christie. It's amazing to me. What the heck is Obama offering these guys that they become such embarrassments to themselves? Forget about us. No opposition to what Obama's doing from one Republican that I know of. You know, Dennis Kucinich, who is as far left as they come, who was an object of ridicule on my show for many years because I thought he was a loop-a-doodle. Like, you know, a Fruit Loop. A Fruit Loop-a-doodle out of a box. You know, but Dennis Kucinich gave a speech that I almost agree with every word. I don't know what's going on in the world that everything the man said seemed correct. Kucinich said that airstrikes on Syria would turn the U.S. into al-Qaeda's air force, told the Hill newspaper. The outspoken anti-war activist said any such action would plunge the U.S. into another war in the Middle East and embolden Islamist militants fighting Bashar Assad's regime. So what we're about to become... He said, so we're about to become al-Qaeda's air force now, Kucinich said. This is a very, very serious matter that has broad implications. And to try to minimize it by saying we're just going to have a targeted strike, that's an act of war. It's not anything to be trifled with. The comments echo warnings from Senator Rand Paul, R. Kentucky, who voted against legislation to arm the Syrian rebels earlier this year by saying such a move would boost al-Qaeda. Kucinich also said President Obama would be violating the Constitution if he doesn't get congressional approval before taking any military action in Syria. You're damn right he would be. You're damn right he would be, the same way Bush violated the Constitution, by the way. They all have done it. Where are the liberals today? At least Kucinich is true to his belief system. And I respect the man who is. I'm true to my belief system. I hope you respect my opinion. But here's a liberal, a leftist, rather, Dennis Kucinich, an anti-war man who is fuming that Obama is about to launch a missile strike on Syria. He said the administration is rushing to what's become World War III. He may be listening to my show. I don't know. Sounds like my show from a Monday. This is being used as a pretext, he said. The verdict is in before the facts have been gathered. What does that tell you? He also attacked John Kerry, the ketchup man. So we have a very serious problem on our hands here. There's almost no oversight of the president. It's a violation of our Constitution. It's a violation of the separation of powers that is delineated in the Constitution. Many are seeing that. It's unbelievable to me. Where are the other liberals? Where's
Barbara Baxter? Where's the big mouth Barbara Baxter? Where's she? Where's she today, Barbara Baxter? Where's Barbara Baxter? Where's Dianne Feinstein? On a junket to China to see if they can move a few other products back and forth? Where is she? Where are all of the decent liberals? There are none.
That's an oxymoron, decent and liberal in one sentence, in one paragraph. It's in one encyclopedia, it's too much. So I've asked you four questions tonight. Why is the U.S. threatening and likely to attack Syria? What will the targets be? Who is pushing Obama to go to war? And I'll give you the answers, which I've done already. It can all be summarized in one word, Israel. That's my opinion. All the evidence leans to Israel, and they're going to do it Friday night when the nation slept. That's all, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just as you can't stop Obama from flooding America with 50 to 60 million non-citizens to take away your birthright forever and destroy America's sovereignty, you can't stop him from going to war because we have a dictatorship with no opposition party and no opposition press. Period. End of story. Goodbye, Charlie. Let's take your calls now. WMAL in Washington. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, sir. Sorry for that. This is absolutely Israel causing all this trouble. When they were threatened supposedly by Iran, the only way that they could actually have the United States attack Iran is by having the United States attack Syria first.
Now, so you think that by dragging the U.S. into an attack on Assad, the next target will be Iran because Iran will react to this and then they'll say we had to act on Iran. Is that it?
Absolutely. I really, truly do believe that's what's happening. I mean,
now I want to put this in context. I don't think you've ever called a show before. I don't recognize your voice. You're listening to me on the Powerhouse MAL in Washington D.C. Would you identify yourself as a conservative or as a liberal?
I'm pretty much a conservative, but I'm very much libertarian because I don't believe in either party, neither Republican or Democrat.
Is that what's drawn you to my show?
Yes, sir. I've been listening to your show actually just about a year. And ever since I first heard it, I couldn't stop listening, sir.
Well, all right. Thank you for the call. I've got a lot of independent listeners. Before the word independent was on the lips of the those who do the limbo, you know, going under the bamboo stick, they all do the limbo together. They were all diehard Republicans when the Republicans were in power. Now they're all anti-Republican and by my rug. They're anti-Republican, but by my toupee. That's all. We have a special Republican toupee at a low price for you. Oh, my God. Look what we have to deal with. It's coming. You'll be on Friday night. My guess is this is how these sneaks do things. Friday night. Boom. You know, I've heard planes moving. I told you I live on San Francisco Bay, right? I live right on the water in one of the places I stay in. And I'm near a few Air Force bases. And last week I heard some major league rumbling at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm very sensitive to sound. I'm as light a sleeper as a wolf. The slightest sound will awaken me out of the deepest sleep. It's unfortunate. That's how my nervous system is. It's on a hair trigger. I reach for the salami sandwich the minute I hear a tingling on the distant wire. No. So anything wakes me up. But I heard rumbling. I heard a rumbling in the sky. It sounded like rolling thunder. And I don't know whether they were B-2 bombers. I don't know what they were. They were not. And by the way, last weekend, we saw FA-18 Hornets practicing over San Francisco Bay, which is unusual because Obama canceled Fleet Week so he can party in Martha's Vineyard and have some clam chowder soup with the family. You know, he had to save on something, so why not cancel the Blue Angels? So what were they practicing for? I don't know. What's the military maneuvers going on in the Bay Area, I ask myself. The bombers, I thought, were just moving over to the Middle East. That's what I thought. I'm not Tokyo Rose giving away secret information. Now the enemies will call me that. I was off yesterday. If you know, I'm just filling you in, catching you up. Those of you who are fanatic listeners want to know where I was. I had to go to Los Angeles for an important event. I went down on a friend's private jet, and we almost crash-landed. I shouldn't tell you that, but it was amazing. I came back with Southwest Airlines. Actually, I've come to like Southwest again. No more private planes. I've had enough of it. They gave me peanuts. I got a Diet Coke. I was there in an hour. Nice young pilot. No, a little landing and a screeching sounded like a 58 Buick, like the brakes locked up on the right wheel. And the pilot's arms were flexed like in a gym, lifting weights, fighting the plane, which was trying to pull to the right. So I said, what the hell happened? And he said, we came to the screeching halt. He said, oh, he said, the brakes are new. He said, they were a little tight. I said, oh, really? Okay. So I was ready to go home, and they said, we're not flying. We got to fix something. That's a little thing, a little minor job. So that's it. So from the magic carpet back to the escalator. From the magic carpet back onto the escalator with the thrashing elbows. And I didn't mind it at all. I really didn't mind being stripped down by a gangbanger in the TSA, a tattooed gangbanger. I hadn't done it in years. I hadn't known what it's like. It's nice to actually be part of the average world again, to be strip searched for no reason. I had to take my belt off, and again, I had to look like the crackheads who beat up that old man and killed him last week in Spokane. I held the pants. So the schmuck put me through the X-ray machine. You have to put your hands on your head. I mean, it's old news to most of you. You do it every day. I can't believe, you know, if you don't do it for a while, you may very much see how debased America has become, life in America. I'm being X-rayed now, and the guy takes me aside, and he says, this is your X-ray. So I said, and? He said, well, these objects are in your pocket. I said, what objects? He said, what's that? I took out two packages of gum. I swear to God, that showed up on the X-ray. So he says, next time, put them in the container. I said, okay, great. That was the one with the tattoo, the wand guy with the tattoo. But the plane I had no complaints with. Empty, middle of the day, got there an hour early, so I got on the earlier one. It was a pleasure. You know, seats galore, nice stewardess, Doris Day, peanuts, Cracker Jacks, popcorn, and you're there before you know it. So that's it. And I'm back here. I mean, what a day it was. Oh, did I tell you I got locked out of my house when I got back on top of it all? This is all in the same day that I'm on the radio. I have so many security gates in my property. I went out to get my dog. He was brought back. The gates locked. I mean, I couldn't get back in. There was no way in. I found that I can't break into my own house, which is actually, on one hand, it's good news. On the other hand, I was in the sun boiling for 40 minutes till someone came with a clicker, a garage job. So, my God, that's it. I didn't think I'd have the energy for the show. I have more energy than ever. Go figure. So that's why I'm saying, you know, there's a lot going on outside, inside my headspace, max headroom. I mean, here we are. I'm on the air. I'm with you. I've been with you for 19 and a half years, many of you. You know that I digress. You know that I don't have ADD. What I have is LSMFT. You know, did you see the story that just came out on MichaelSavage.com about the headlines? It's unbelievable. Those of you who've been hoodwinked into thinking your child needs special ed when they don't, those of you who've been told your child has ADD when they don't in order to peddle a drug, the doctor should rot in hell for doing it to you. You got to see this story. Boy diagnosed ADD on a track to win a Nobel Prize. The mother noticed that the special ed program was making him crazy. The drugs were imprisoning him and putting him into a straitjacket. And after she pulled the boy out of special ed, he started to thrive. And he's on the way to winning a Nobel Prize. It's the second lead story on Michael Savage. Here's another headline for those of you who love bums. South Carolina City makes being homeless illegal. Hey. They're calling the bums what they are. Bums. Criminal bums in the gutter. I can't go to San Francisco anymore. I cannot go downtown San Francisco. I can't take the filth, the fecal matter, the urine, the bums, the threats. But the liberal bums who run the city won't do anything about it. They ought to make homelessness illegal in San Francisco. Maybe I'll go back. It's getting worse by the day. I mean, when are we going to have a typhus epidemic break out here, I want to know. We already have a crack epidemic in the streets. Here's another one. Teen rapes 93-year-old grandmother. I'm allowed to mention the race of the two parties, or that's illegal in America today. Teen rapes 93-year-old grandmother. I can't mention the race of the parties because it might offend some of your sensibilities. Rape victim 93 bravely speaks out after she was attacked by 17-year-old boy who kicked in back door of her home as she slept. A 17-year-old boy. Oh, there's a picture of the young man, of the young, the gentleman. Equisi Taylor from Anderson, Indiana, has been charged with rape, burglary, and strangulation. Apparently, it happened in Indiana. I'm sorry, it wasn't published in America. Oh, they don't let it be published here. I see. Equisi Taylor of Anderson, Indiana, was charged as an adult on Monday after the July 16th attack on Amelia Rudolph in her home. Mail Online does not normally name victims of sexual assault, but Mrs. Rudolph participated in a police news conference after Anderson, Equisi Taylor, was charged with rape, burglary, criminal confinement, and strangulation. I don't know how he let the woman live. It's sad. It's sickening. He should, if he actually did this, the punishment should be castration. That would be the proper punishment. Castration. 93-year-old woman raped by a 17-year-old boy. Again, not one word from Obama or the race mongers in America. Now let's go back to the big story of the day. Bomb, bomb, bomb. We've got a kill for peace. When I come back right here on the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The United States Department of Defense is ready to carry out those options. If that would occur, also in coordination.
That's Hagel the Bagel, the stooge they put in the Defense Department. The man who was given to making certain that the military was safe for gay marriage is now suddenly banging the war drum. Sickening. The country makes me ill. Makes me ill. Western attack to punish Syria, likely to begin with a barrage of more than 100 missiles and 48-hour blitz. How do you like living with a blitzkrieg government? What does he want to imitate Bush with shock and awe? From shock and awe, I'll have to figure out the rhyme. I need the iambic pentameter gene to kick in, but after today, it's not 100% operating. My V16 is running on 14 cylinders tonight. My V16 mine. In that second with the brake job, I envisioned a call to my children. Listen, there was a little problem at the airport tonight. Oh, really? What happened? Well, nothing serious. The brakes locked up. And how are my parents? Well, let me tell you the good news first. The good news is you won't have to cremate them. We have them in a box for you. There was a little black cinder. We were able to scrape it off. We got the crew from Asiana with the shovels. God. No, I have a dark sense of humor. And then we landed with, it was beautiful coming in with the Southwest on the same reef runway. There's no reefs here, but like way out there. The same Asiana runway. I call it Asiana runway now. Over the Morton salt ponds. How much salt can there be in San Francisco Bay? Every time I come back from a flight, there's the salt again. How much salt is there in water? Forever you can keep taking salt out? Oh, my God, it's going to happen Friday night. I know it. I know it because you can't talk. See, here's the thing. They're timing it so there's no talk radio for 2 days. The strikes. And everyone's barbecuing. Give me the schlitz. Give me the bud. Hey, bud, how are you? Pass the hot dog. Western attack will be 100 missiles in 48 hours. And what do you think the targets are going to be? They're saying it's chemical weapon. Let's assume that Assad did it. And I wouldn't put it past the son of a bitch, the son of a bandy-legged Murphy. Okay? I would not. His father gassed the whole town, by the way. Assad's father gassed the town of Homs, I think. Homa, Syria. He killed 10,000 people, the father. So it runs in the bloodline. Let's not, make him into the angel here. But that is really not the point. The point is not that Assad is a monster. He is. But he's the monster we know, as opposed to the monster we don't know. That's A. B, I don't see our national interests involved. Remember what George Washington wrote. Remember him? That old white man who spoke English, who Al Sharpton hates? George Washington said, beware of foreign entanglements. And then many a moon later, Dwight D. Eisenhower said, beware the government, beware the military-industrial complex. He saw what would happen. And then along came another great man named Michael Savage, who in 1998 gave a speech at the Commonwealth Club, which trumped both George Washington and Dwight D. Eisenhower when he said, "Beware the government media complex." Believe me, it's worse than even I ever imagined it could be. The government media complex now is worse than the military-industrial complex. But, you know, we don't have to talk about that. In plain English, the president will violate the Constitution if he launches strikes. There should be a million people outside the White House when he does it, demanding his resignation. But there won't be. There won't be, because the left is 100% behind, 99% behind him. What do you think is going to happen if Assad is removed? Tell me what you think is going to happen. There's going to be peace on earth there, goodwill to man. What do you think is going to happen? They're going to take out his Air Force, which takes his... Let's say the Air Force are his teeth. He's a weakened tiger with some teeth left in his mouth. Now Israel wants him completely go to the... They want to take him to the dentist, and they want all of his teeth removed, anesthetized and removed. They want the teeth out of his mouth, so there are no teeth left in Assad's mouth. Now, who then will take his place? The Israelis are not stupid. No one's ever said that. But they're not afraid of them. They figure the al-Nusra Brigade, the others, what the heck, they have no planes, no tanks, no heavy weapons. So they're not a threat to Israel? What could be better? Let's do the horror. What do you care if China and Russia don't like it? Go to hell. What do I care? It's good for us. And while we're at it, take out Iran, too. So that's it. That's a lot of people are saying that. Intuitively, they know something's wrong with the picture because they don't even know where the heck Syria is. They never heard of it. Most people don't know what it is. They think it's a movie with Tom Cruise in it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I have no interest in any kind of open-ended conflict in Syria, but we do have to make sure that when countries break international norms on...
Right on, all power to the people.
...that they are held accountable. If, in fact, we make a choice...
Yeah, all right, knock it off. We know what's coming. Okay, it's war, war, war. The war drums are being beat. He came back from vacation specifically to launch the missiles and act like, you know, Mr. Kingo again. The King of Siam is back under the Constitution. What Constitution? The one that he doesn't respect? He has no right to launch a war any more than Bush did with the fake WMDs or Reagan with Grenada or Eisenhower with Lebanon. Where's Congress? Where the heck is Congress? Clinton violated the Constitution when he launched an air war against Serbia, an unconstitutional war crime. Millions of people marched against Clinton's illegal bombing, the war crime conducted by Madeleine Albright and Bill Clinton against Serbia to steal Kosovo from Serbia. Now we have it again. So they're out to steal Syria from Syria, to take Syria from the Syrians and do with it as they will. And that's the end of it. So now what's going on is interesting, very interesting to me. Obama's pretending he's studying the issue carefully, and he's going to do a very thoughtful... They know when they're launching to the second already. It'll be Friday night when you're asleep after a drunken barbecue for Labor Day weekend. They have it calculated with their friends from Hollywood and the PR business. You know, while America slept, they launched the war. They do everything Friday night. It's like a document dump. But Britain... 10 minutes ago, this just came out. 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago. You're getting the latest news from Michael Savage. 10 minutes ago, Britain said before it would sign on to strikes in Syria, this morning they already signed on. Already, so Cameron was signing on already. Before it would endorse strikes in Syria, Britain signaled it would await the findings of a UN inquiry into a suspected chemical attack and hold a parliamentary vote. That's a democracy. Parliamentary vote, let's hear the inspection, then we decide. I mean, what's the rush? Syria's a weakened nation, so you can't wait two more days, Mr. Obama? You're that anxious to pull the trigger on another event to wipe away all your scandals? It's frightening to me. So then the New York Times writes, on Syria, a drumbeat with some echoes of Iraq. Oh, how clever. West debates legal rationale for Syria strike. There is no legal rationale. None whatsoever. But it's going to happen. It is going to happen. Russia will do jack. China will do nothing. And Iran will launch missiles against Israel. Israel will say we're attacked. Now you have to go and take out Iran's nukes. It's the taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3. That's the chess game as I see it. I see it coming. Do I think it will lead to World War III? Truthfully, no. I do not think China and Russia are foolish enough. They're not as foolish as America. They're not as wild as America in their actions. They're much more calculated in their movements. And they have nothing to gain by doing it. Obama, on the other hand, is more of a cowboy than Bush. You know, this I knew from day one. You know, you thought he was Mr. Peacenik. He has a few agenda items to neutralize the opposition in this country. He threw them gay marriage. They shut their mouths and go do what they wanted and not say anything to him when he bombed Syria. So he's neutralized that audience. Then he's going to throw the bone of 50 million illegal aliens to shut them up. So who's left? America, but America doesn't exist to Obama. The America that you know and you love doesn't exist to Barack Obama. And he doesn't give a damn what you think about him. He owns Chris Christie. He owns Peter King. He owns John Boehner. He owns the putative Republican Party, which doesn't really exist. So I started the show tonight. One, why is the U.S. threatening and likely to attack Syria? What will the targets be? Who is pushing Obama to go to war? And then I gave you the answer. I suspected this for weeks now. I suspected it, but I didn't want to say it because I felt that I would go onto a black book of suddenly everything would come bad onto me. If I dared say it all leads back to Israel, I thought that anything I might have gained in the world thus far would suddenly be taken away from me. And I hope I'm wrong, because it just came out of Fox News tonight. You heard the news in the last hour, didn't you? I said, the minute I saw this, I said, there's the answer. They took it down? Fox News took it down? I don't believe my eyes. They removed it. Remember what I read to you at the beginning of the last hour? It's off the headline. Ah, there it is. They buried it. They must have heard that I ran with it as my lead. Here it is. Fox News Politics, published August 28, 2013. Israeli intelligence first confirmed Assad regime behind alleged chemical attack. So at that point, I said, okay, my worst suspicions are that it was Israel all along pushing the United States to take out Assad's air force, to completely defang him, so then they'd only have to face the Al-Nusra Brigade, the terrorist brigades, let's put it to you that way, who have no planes, no tanks, no heavy weapons, no artillery. They have small weapons, and they can neutralize them with one airplane. And then, of course, it's good, very good for Israel. Golan Heights is safe again. And God only knows, you know, what else. Maybe a piece of Syria goes with it. They can divide and conquer Syria, take it apart. After all, it's only been around for 20,000 years, so why not take a piece of it? Why not take a piece of that cake? Take a bite out of that cake, too. It's a very depressing scenario. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm never wrong. I'm never wrong. You see, I've never been wrong on international affairs. No, I don't know what it is. I was given a genius ability to see through international affairs always. Even as a child, I saw it, as a five-year-old. I was able to... I don't know what it is. I'm not that smart on certain things. I can't paint. I'm very bad with foreign languages. I'm not very good in mathematics. But I have a genius for certain things, and one of them is analyzing foreign affairs. And I've never been wrong, ever. Remember in Bush 1 when the first Iraq war, do you remember that one? And I said that the reason he left Saddam in power, and he left the Revolutionary Guard in power, but somewhat defanged, was to keep them there as a neutralizing force for Iran. That was smart. That was very clever. And then when Bush went in gung-ho, charging against and killed his sons, took out the Revolutionary Guard, I said, oh, my God, this could be the greatest blunder in American military history because the big winner here will be an emerging Persia. Oh, was I right. Iraq now is basically a satellite of Iran. We didn't get a barrel of oil out of that deal. Nothing. Oh, we liberated 24 million Shiites, right, and Wallbanger celebrated night after night. For years, Wallbanger was celebrating. Breaking news. Just came in on the Savage Day. I can't even read it to you. I'm going to get sick. You want to hear the news? U.S. warships in striking distance of Syria awaiting orders. My hair is standing up. I mean, it's awful. It's just awful. They're moving so fast because the American people are asleep. The American people are asleep. Where'd that come from, Neil? Who put that out? Who was the... Fox just put that out? Oh, boy, that's a crawl on the screen. Breaking news from the Savage Nation via Fox News. Oh, boy. Not one word from the Republicans. There's one Republican, a former Marine captain, who's saying, no, this is wrong. The rest, where's Boehner? Clink. Where's Clinky? Where is he? What's going on, Syria? Where's that? Syria? Well, I never heard of that damn place. Is that something to do with, is it Sirius over there in Syria? Is anything we got to worry about? Going to cut into something over here? Anything? Syria? Never heard of that joint. Where is it? That's it. That's it. It's a terrible thing to watch this. I knew Obama was a puppet. That I knew from day one. And I know he's an arrogant puppet. I also know that he's an out-of-control arrogant puppet. I know he's a dangerous arrogant puppet. But I never thought that this so-called Nobel Prize winner, this so-called peace activist, would be such a warmonger. I had a suspicion, because soon after taking power, I think within 90 days, he put 30,000 more troops into Iran. I remember I made an issue out of it on the radio show. I said, wait a minute, he's the peace candidate? And the first thing he did was put 30,000 new troops into Afghanistan? Wait a minute. Now you know why the last word in talk radio is soaring to new heights. The Savage Nation. It's not because of my Teddy stories or because of the Indian buffet or the horoscope or the cars or my manic depression or whatever, my moods. It's nothing to do with any of that. It's my analysis. It's like I'm a family member, but you got to put up with everything, the whole personality. Now, what's the good of me giving you just the news? You can get that from anybody. It's the fact that there's a human being behind the news that makes it interesting and believable. That's what it comes down to. I'm like a family member. I am the uncle that you all wish you had, or that you wish you had. They don't exist anymore. The uncles that you wish you had are now married to their boyfriend. They don't exist. Uncle Tony doesn't come over anymore. Uncle Tony married Uncle Marvin. He's gone. There's no uncles in the country. I'm the uncle. So there it is, shot across the bow. Obama advocates a limited, tailored approach in Syria. Wow, that's so way cool. That's not war. Look, it's not war. Obama advocates a limited, tailored approach in Syria. I think that's very, very, that is so, man, that's so hip. That's so hip. That's so unmilitary. He's going to have a tailored war. After all, you got to kill for peace, but he's going to do it nicely. He's going to do it with a plum style. Dignity. He's going to kill with dignity. And that's the good thing. You see, to the liberal, any bomb that has a D on it is a good bomb. Any bomb that has an R on it is an evil bomb, a racist bomb. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Chemical weapons were used on a large scale in Syria against civilian populations. We have looked at all the evidence, and we do not believe the opposition possessed nuclear weapons of that, or chemical weapons of that sort.
Well, let's stop right there. It's prepared, the U.S. is prepared to bypass the United Nations on Syria response. They just made an announcement hours ago. The so-called State Department made an announcement that they're going to bypass the United Nations Security Council as repairs to go to war on Syria after having failed to win support from Russia. So what kind of government do you think you have? You think you have a liberal government, a libertarian government? You think you have a democratic government? You have a fascist dictatorship. A dictatorship by any name is a dictatorship. Oh, they go to the UN what, when they want a UN treaty on weapons to take your gun away? But they don't go to the UN when the UN says don't go to war against Syria? In blunt terms, Department spokesmouth Mary Barf said last-ditch efforts to win support for an anti-Assad resolution at the UN were unsuccessful, and the U.S. would proceed anyway. In other words, go to hell to the world. Mary Barf of the State Department said, we see no avenue forward given continued Russian opposition to any meaningful council action on Syria. Therefore, the United States will continue its consultations and will take appropriate actions to respond in the days ahead. Sieg Heil! You have a dictatorship. You want me to get dramatic? I'll get even more dramatic if you want. What do you think? Because you got some girl from Barnard College? It's different than Leni Riefenstahl? You think because she's got a pair of pearls on her neck instead of a swastika, it's any different? You got a dictatorship here right in front of your eyes. What the hell is in Syria that we care about? Tell me. You're telling it's for humanitarian reasons? Are you crazy? There are more humanitarian reasons here in America than there for the military to intervene. Like, let's start with the onslaught of illegal aliens from Mexico who are invading us like a damn army. That's a humanitarian crisis in the making. Flooding America with 50 million aliens. But no, he's going to intervene in Syria, the great man. So don't give me the malarkey that he cares about humane issues. Bull! Bull! The spokesmouth Barf said it's clear Syria violated international law here. She rejected the suggestion that the U.S. was bypassing the international community, knowing the top U.S. officials have been consulting all week with leaders of other nations. Oh, really? What do you mean by consulting? What does that mean? Where are the lawmakers in America? Oh, House Speaker Boehner? Mr. Klink, where is he? It's unbelievable to me. It's unbelievable to me. Oh, here's someone. Representative Tom McClintock, Republican, California, good man, issued a blistering statement about the possibility that Obama would proceed with a strike without congressional authorization. Good for him. Tom McClintock said this. The president's authority as commander-in-chief to order a military attack on a foreign government is implicitly limited by the Constitution to repelling an attack. Hey, God bless you, Mr. McClintock. Further, he noted that the 1973 War Powers Resolution, which has been repeatedly ignored by U.S. presidents, dictates that the president cannot send forces into hostilities for a non-retaliatory strike without a declaration of war approved from Congress. So there it is all over again. A few Republicans are standing up to this tin pot dictator we have in the White House. It's frightening. Headline, U.S. warships in striking distance of Syria awaiting orders. The Fuhrer will give the order shortly. The Fuhrer will come out of his bunker on Martha's Vineyard and give his order after the clam cocktail. Hey, come on here. It's just awful. It's just awful. What's shocking? What a shocking reality to wake up to this. Sometimes I think I'm dreaming that Mr. UN, Mr. Nobel Prize winner, Mr. Peace Prize, Mr. Leftist, Mr. Anti-War is now going to launch cruise missiles against Syria when Syria has done nothing to America. Nothing whatsoever. It's frightening, actually. It's just frightening how we've gone from cruising to cruise missiles in one generation. 855-407-282. Let me take your calls. There's so many great calls, and I know many of you want to call the show. It's late, I know, but what are you going to do? You're boiling inside. Your head's about to explode. You don't know who to turn to. The newspapers don't take your letter to the editor. Remember those days in the 50s, 60s? A letter to the editor. Guy stood up for four weeks, he wrote a letter to the editor. The Des Moines Gazette. Sir. They wrote it and rewrote it. They discussed it with the wife, the daughter, the son-in-law. They sent the letter, and if it got published, the guy put it on the wall. Remember those days? No more. We are the letters to the editor. We in talk radio are the last link between the citizenry and sanity. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I want to make clear that the options that we are considering are not about regime change. They are about responding to a clear violation of an international standard that prohibits the use of chemical weapons.
I'll turn this moron off. Turn this blonde thrower off. U.S. prepares to bypass U.N. on Syria response. They're telling China and Russia to go to hell. You hear this? Suddenly we're all of a sudden we're concerned about Syria. They're our best friend. Why is the U.S. threatening to bomb the Syrian Air Force? Then they're certainly not going to bomb the chemical weapons stores. I mean, have you figured that out yet? I mean, think about this. All your geniuses are in Obama's pocket. No matter what he does is right. Kill is good. Don't kill is good. Whatever he does is right, the right move. You're so stupid you think that anything he does is correct. So now he's going to launch cruise missiles, and they're good missiles because they have an O on them. They were bad missiles when they had a Bush on them. When they had a B on them, they were bad. When they had an O on them, they're good cruise missiles. That's how brainwashed you are. But what will the targets be? Likely the Syrian Air Force. That's if they haven't moved the planes already. I mean, if you've been signaling a punch, you're about to get into a fight with a guy. You say one more word, I'll haul off. What'd you say? What'd you say? You know one more word and I'm really going to hit you. What? One more word, I'm telling you, and I'm going to hit you right in that shoulder of yours. You said what? Listen, I'm telling you, you say that one more time, I'm going to punch you in that right shoulder. What, you did it again? I'm telling you, this is your last word. You say it one more time, I'm going to strike you as hard as I can with my middle finger in the right shoulder. I'm warning you. So what are you going to do? He's going to laugh at you. Assad, where do you think Assad's going to, where are his airplanes? Where are they? He's sitting there on a field like in World War II waiting to be struck in a line? What do you think, it's Pearl Harbor? Either he moved them into a hardened underground a series of bunkers, or he flew them over to Iran and put them in their garage. If you were Assad, where would the planes be? They'd be in Iran's garage, underground. They'd be in an underground garage in Iran, having an oil change and a wax job. So who's he going to, what's he going to hit? Was he going to just shoot missiles to look powerful again and wipe away his four scandals? I don't understand the thinking here. Where is the thinking? He wants shock and awe to bring the morons together. He thinks it's July 4th. He doesn't understand it's the end of August. It's not July 4th. We don't need a firecracker show, fireworks show. I mean, look how popular Bush was after shock and awe figures. It always works with the idiots. They like bread and roses and war. Give him bread and roses and war. Oh, look at that. Ooh, look at his hey, look at our... Go, boys, go. Ooh, look at our ships. It's a live feed. Hey, children, come on in here. These are our boys over there. America, right or wrong, man, get the flag out of the window. Put it out on the fender. Get it on the fender again. We got to defend America. You're a great American. No, sir, you're a great American. Hello, great American, how are you? You're a great American. No, no, you're a great American. No, hello, great American. Hello, great American. Hello, great American. No, you go, Michelle, you can go crazy from this, watching this. So I'm gonna let myself loose. You never saw me yet. Really unload. You haven't seen anything yet, what's coming. The 1973 War Powers Resolution was passed to stop exactly this from happening. It was passed by a liberal Congress because they never wanted to be dragged back into a Vietnam. I was alive. I was functioning. 1973. I had earned my second master's degree and I was working towards my PhD. I remember the War Powers Resolution. It was very clearly motivated by an anti-war movement that never wanted to be dragged into war again by a maniac president. Oh, but Obama's different. He would never do anything that violates the liberal codex. No, it's a good war. He has the authority to do it. I mean, he certainly does. Hey, he doesn't need to go to the UN except when it comes to grabbing weapons or making certain that free speech is quelled in America. Then he'll go to the UN and bring in the white hats or the blue hats, whatever they have. The red hats, really. So there's the news for you. The ships are sitting there ready. They're greasing up the missile. The missile silos are being greased. And England, to their credit, backed down on the Syria strikes because there was a revolt within the political structure of England. They actually have a system there that requires them to go to the opposition party and then to study the data and then to have a vote on it. How do you like that? Imagine how primitive the Brits are. They actually have to vote on going to war. Amazing. How inconvenient. You know, it's very slow to do it that way. Think of how efficient this is. This is very much like an email. This is like Obama using a BlackBerry to bomb Syria rather than bothering with a letter. So there it is. Jordan backed out. They're not helping. Oil is through the ceiling, 2-year high. Boehner, no one knows where he is. Went down to the corner liquor store and never returned. No one knows where Boehner is. So which ships are sitting offshore? Let's see, the USS Harry Reid, the USS Barbara Boxer, the USS Dianne Feinstein, the USS Al Sharpton, the USS Jesse Jackson, the USS Jamie Foxx, the USS Peter King, the USS Biden. In other words, the war party ships are sitting offshore. We shall, they're marching already, marching for peace and solidarity, but not one word when missiles are about to be launched. Not one word out of the fraudulent liberals. How come if I'm the bad guy, the right winger, I'm against the war? Can you figure that out? How does that figure? Have you been able to figure this out yet, you idiots, you, on the wrong side of history? You're for war and I'm against it and I'm the bad guy. Huh. Okay, I'll take some calls. I've spoken enough. I've made more enemies than a normal human being should make in any one day. And I think it's time now to let you make some enemies by calling the show at 1-855. All I can do is let you see. You don't understand. I have a gallows sense of humor. I was the kind of guy that, well, I'll tell you another time. You don't have to hear it now. I have a gallows sense of humor. I tell jokes when things are awful. I get even more humorous. I don't feel funny when things are good. I feel depressed when things are good. It's boring for me. On the situations like this, I actually become, my mind is sharper. I've become much sharper, much more focused. I'm going to give you the news like every 15 minutes. You'll be biting your nails all night tonight. You're going to watch, what are you going to watch tonight? Spinning a wheel on a television set with some bimbo in a short skirt? Probably. Probably. Why not? They've been doing it to you for 35 years. Why stop now? We shall. Where are they today? Where all the peaceniks yesterday? They're gone already. The signs are down. The placards are on the ground. The placards are on the ground. But there's nothing to say about the bomb with the cruise missiles with an O on them. Chaos. It's chaos. The world is in chaos. Tell me what the outcome of this is. Tell me the good outcome. I want to hear the good outcome. Tell me the good outcome. Let's start with the big picture. The good outcome. Okay, Assad's dead. He has no air force. Now what? Then what happens? Move the pieces on the chessboard. What happens after his air force has been blown up? That's if the planes are still there, which I doubt. I doubt it. I mean, if I were Assad, what would you do? Well, you use common sense. I mean, our military knows that he would move them. Where would a gangster like that move his airplanes? Either to underground hardened bunkers or to Iran. He flew them there already. They've had the oil change. They said they got a wax job, maybe even a paint job. Oil, grease, new brake pads, new steering. They're just polishing them in some underground cave. What, are they going to sit there and wait for a cruise missile? So who's he going to launch them on? Oh, I see. He's going to launch them against the evil chemical weapon stores. And then what happens, idiot? The chemical weapon stores blow up and disseminate throughout Syria and the Middle East. So that ain't happening. How do you know that isn't happening? How do you know they're not going to hit a chemical weapons store, even by accident? Oh, you sure of that? Did you hear what the Deputy Prime Minister of Russia said about this country? I put it up on michaelsavage.com. Where is this? Here. The West handles the Islamic world the way a monkey handles a grenade. Russian Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Rogozin. I swear to God, I didn't make it up. The West is a monkey with a grenade to Islamic world, Dmitry Rogozin. That came out in the International Business Times this afternoon. I put it up on my website. Why is it odd to me? What's odd to me is I'm reading Russian sources now for reason. They seem more reasonable to me than American sources. It's unbelievable. Alexander Lukashevich, Russia's foreign ministry spokesman, stated that Syria, along with other nations in North Africa and the Middle East, will suffer if attempts were made to intervene based on groundless excuses. A military intervention at the moment might bear catastrophic consequences if the UN Security Council is bypassed, he added. Russia asked the global community to be more prudent before planning a military attack on Syria. His words fell on deaf ears. The White House said, go to hell to the United Nations. We don't care what you say. Dmitry Rogozin, Russia's deputy prime minister, tweeted that the West treated Islamic nations like a monkey with a grenade. The deputy prime minister is infamous for having a sharp tongue. Here's Mr. Rogozin's tweet. Well, I just read it to you already. Well, anyway, that's it. The Assad regime is finished. It's history already. The alleged chemical attack, even legitimate newspapers are calling it alleged chemical attack. To this day, they're calling it alleged chemical attack. Alleged, but didn't stop the hostile reaction from the Nobel Peace Prize winner. Oh, no. No. Let's see. Meanwhile, Waleed Mualem, the foreign minister of Syria, claimed today that the country would be capable enough to defend itself if the West attacked with its military force. Al Arabiya reported based on an Agence France press report. If Mualem is to be believed, which I doubt, the country would prefer defending itself instead of surrendering to the Western army. Mualem was talking at a news conference as he boasted of the defense of the country, which may surprise most people in the world. He also added that an attack on Syria would serve the interests of Al-Qaeda and Israel. Now, that's interesting. He's now linking Al-Qaeda with Israel, which is, this is too much already for anyone who plays chess, checkers, backgammon, triple chess, quadruple bypass, cheeseburgers, hamburgers, French fries, salt, pepper, French fries, all aboard. 855-407-282. Let's take some calls. Steve on WABC. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to say I do agree with you.
Let me say this, Steve. Steve, you're a great American.
Geez, thank you.
Steve, Steve, just for calling my show, Steve, you're a great American. Listen, I have a toupee, a special toupee I can send you for only $1.99 and a jingle.
Yeah, I can't.
You're a great American. What's on your mind, Steve?
Well, I concur with you. You stole some of my thunder earlier. I agree that this, to me, this is going so fast. We have no national interest in Syria. This is about Iran.
You're saying we're using Syria as a stepping stone to Iran and using the chemical attack, which, even if it's real, is still being used as a pretext to attack Iran?
Via Israel, correct.
Now, do you agree with me that it seems to me that Israel is pulling the strings here?
I think it's together, but we are the prop. They are pulling the strings. We are the prop.
So Israel is actually the tail wagging the dog. They're wagging us with the dog. We're being used as a Hessian army now for Israel.
Correct, right.
It's pretty clear to me that that's what's going on. When I read earlier tonight at the top of the hour when I started this show that Israel says it was their intelligence that determined that it was Assad who attacked with the chemical weapons, I said that's the last piece of propaganda I need to put two and two together.
Right. I read today that they said there was an op-ed on my computer from Iran that said that missiles will rain down on Israel if the United States attacks Syria. Well,
Steve, let me ask you something. Look, I want to ask you a question. I don't listen to other shows. I don't have the time, but are the other conservative so-called talk shows supporting a missile strike on Syria? I don't know. Are they? I need to know. Who's supporting this?
I don't think so. I only listened to the person before you today. I worked today, so I only listened to the person before you.
How about the wall banger? I know he's in the middle of the wall banger on everything. He's on both sides. The wall banger said that there's no good outcome in this. So in other words, he sat on the fence.
I honestly, I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know either. But the thing is I'll tell you my opinion. You know, with me, with Michael Savage, you're going to get a straight-out opinion one way or the other. I rarely sit on the fence.
I think it is difficult.
I'm not a fence sitter. Now, thanks, Steve. You're a great American. Thanks for calling. You're a real great American. You're a great American. Soul American. Suzanne on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Suzanne, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much for taking my call, Dr. Savage.
Suzanne, you're a great American.
I wanted to answer your question. You said, why is this happening? Why is he willing to go to war? Our president who...
Well, just for asking that question, Suzanne, you're getting you're a great American award. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm in a giddy mood. I can't believe it. I'm sorry. Make your point. I shouldn't be that comedic in the political arena. Go on, please.
To circumvent the UN... circumvented Congress doing
sure.
offense to...
Well, wait a minute. You don't understand. When you say Obama is circumventing the UN, it's sort of a mistake, the way you're posing the statement. Obama is bigger than the UN. They're only an advisory committee to him. He is God. He actually is in another world of his own. He actually doesn't need the UN, except when he needs them, and he doesn't need them now. After all, he's a Nobel Prize winner. The man can do anything he wishes because he has infinite wisdom.
Well, he won't go in to help the Christians that are being killed in Egypt. But
No. What does he need Christians for? No, and in fact, when Assad goes, you'll see a slaughter of Christians in Syria and of Jews. You'll see synagogues burning and churches on fire, and you'll hear nothing about it from the midstream media.
I share your frustration and your anger. I don't know.
See, what happens when I reach my zenith of my anger, I become sarcastic. There's nowhere else for me to go. That's when my back is to a wall, I revert to sarcasm. It's the last, this is my last refuge is sarcasm. The man is acting like a tin pot dictator, and frankly, it's embarrassing to me to have a man like this in the White House. Does he think he's fooling anyone by making believe he's actually analyzing the data before he strikes? The ships are sitting there. The tubes are loaded. The codes have been entered. The targets have been picked. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
During her beating, she's an electrician, and she says she thinks the girls would have killed her if a man had not stopped them. Not one word from the usual suspects. Ginger Slefsky said four black teenagers in Pittsburgh brutally beat her while calling her racial slurs. This follows on the heels of the killing of that 88-year-old man, Shorty, outside a little place last week up in Spokane. You know what the teen who did it to him said today? That the man was trying to sell him crack and it was a bad crack deal. Not only did he beat the guy to death with a flashlight, now he's destroying the man's reputation. The teen has a string of arrests longer than Pinocchio's nose. Anyway, that's what's going on in your country today because of the divide and conquer routine of this administration. So it's not bad enough they've turned races against each other in this country. Now they're going to Syria to turn factions of Islam against each other. You hear? It's the same thinking, divide and conquer. I mean, if you can do it here in America, why not do it in Syria? And then if you can do it in Syria, why not do it in Iran? Look, this is not a laughing matter, but unfortunately, we have to laugh occasionally. You know, you have to let it go. When we live in a country where there is virtually no democracy whatsoever, the last thing we have left is ridicule. The ridicule of these politicians is all we have left. There was a time in history when ridicule was punishable by the most heinous tortures you could imagine. And believe me, if this political class is not stopped, it will happen again. It will happen again. They're mad on their power. And never believe a word a loudmouth liberal ever tells you. They have not said one word about the coming war against Syria, except for one. Dennis Kucinich, who at least is true to his own belief system, and I have to respect that. The rest of them, forget about it. The USS Boxer, the USS Feinstein, the USS Harry Reid, they're all sailing and the missile tubes are launched.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, here we are in hour number three of The Savage Nation for Wednesday, August 28th in the year of our Lord, 2013. Good news, death for the Fort Hood killer. He'll be on death row for decades. They won't execute him. Halal meals, television, prayer rugs, prayer beads. And all of the medical and legal help that he's entitled to after slaughtering 13 and wounding 33. Meanwhile, the Washington Times reports that an attack on Syria is likely to trigger terrorist attacks against the United States right here on our home soil. Al Jazeera, shall I call it Al Gore-Zira? Your good old friend, the greenie Al Gore, sold it to Al Jazeera to give him an opening, a Trojan horse into the American market. Well, they tanked in the first week. Yeah. The highest rated show on Al Jazeera drew a mere 54,000 viewers. I think I get that when I sneeze. Obama's saying he's not made a decision on attacking Syria like hell he hasn't. Like hell he hasn't. He is a puppet on a string, and I think I know who's pulling the string. And it's not the United States citizenry. No, it's not. Not at all. In fact, in the UK, latest news is the Cameron is back down on the urgent Syria strikes amid a growing revolt in England. At least they listen to the people in England. We have no democracy here, not even a shred of it. That's right. Latest news. David Cameron backed down and agreed to delay a military attack on Syria following a growing revolt over the UK's rushed response to the crisis on Wednesday night, not here in America. Here in America, the sheeple have no say whatsoever. Israelis are rushing for gas masks. They're bracing for retaliation ahead of a strike on Syria. The prime minister of Syria is warning the country will become a graveyard for invaders. Russian resistance halts the UN resolution. Does Obama know he's fighting on Al-Qaeda's side? Iran says thousands of missiles will rain on Israel. Can you believe this? Jordan is backing out and saying we're not getting involved. Oil prices have reached a two-year high. Congressman is calling for Boehner to call back the House from vacation now and vote on this. Intelligence committees say they're not even properly consulted. This is what's going on in your country right now. A dictatorship by any name is a dictatorship. How do you feel living in America today where there doesn't even seem to be a putative democracy? Questions for you are numerous. Many questions. I mean, you should be asking yourself a number of questions. Who was behind this? Who's pushing them? Well, I suspected it was Israel all along. Why do I say that? Well, it came out on Fox News. Israeli intelligence first confirmed Assad regime behind alleged chemical attack. I'll read that for those of you who don't know what I just said. Israeli intelligence first confirmed Assad regime behind alleged chemical attack. So you have to conclude that it's Israel pushing the United States and England and France and Italy and Germany to strike Assad. It's Israel again. So you have to ask yourself, I consider myself a friend of Israel, what the hell are they doing here? Why does Israel want the United States to strike Assad's Air Force? Because that's the target. Obama's saying it's going to be cruise missiles at a certain number of targets. The targets won't be buildings, but they won't be civilians. They won't be the chemical weapons, even if they knew where they were. So they're going to be military targets. So it's Israel that wants Assad's Air Force neutralized. That's what's behind all of this. So that leads us to the next question. Why does Israel want to risk all of a throw of the dice, bringing Iran into the fold, antagonizing Russia and China, who have walked out of the UN Security Council meeting tonight? Why? What is Israel up to here? What the hell are they doing? Has Israel lost its mind? Is Israel that afraid of a weakened Assad's Air Force that they would risk a world war just to neutralize, what does he have, 50 airplanes? Are they that afraid of Assad's Air Force? I have to ask the question, because it seems to me that if we're hearing tonight that the initial confirmation that the regime of Syrian President Bashar Assad was responsible for the suspected chemical weapons attack came from a tip, from the Israeli intelligence service. Western intelligence sources tell Fox News tonight. Well, I won't read you the rest of the article, because we still don't know if it's true. Well, here we are, Mr. Peacenik. The Nobel Prize winner is about to launch a war over the Labor Day weekend with no Congress. No, Congress is not in session. The people are not in session. The press is not in session. Seems we've gone from cruising to cruise missiles in one generation. We've gone from cruise ships to cruise missiles in one presidency. And who's pulling Obama's strings? It looks to me like it's Israel. There's a full press campaign on the part of the Israeli government to have the United States again act like a Hessian force to take out the Syrian Air Force. The Israelis do not fear the ragtag rebel groups who have no real heavy weapons. They have light weapons. And they figure they're not an issue, so take out the Air Force while we can. And then Syria is neutralized. It's the taking of the Middle East 1-2-3. I don't blame them. If you can get America and France and Italy and Germany to act for you and they're foolish enough to risk a third world war, why not? Why not? Put your own interests ahead of the world. What do you care? That's my opinion. And I'm pissed off, frankly. I'm sick of this slavish worship of Israel. I've supported Israel, but not at all costs. And it's not Israel above America. I'll be very clear with you. No, it's America first, and Israel's the tail, not the dog. With the dog, they're the tail. And I'm sick and tired of America being yanked around like we're the tail and they're the dog. I mean, who's wagging the dog here? Who's wagging the dog? We're the dog. So you thought Obama was different. You thought Obama was a Muslim. You thought Obama was a member of a this and that. Come on. He's a fanatic left-wing activist, could care less about international affairs. All he cares about is gay rights, immigration, you know, and granting amnesty to illegals so there's no America left. And that'll be his legacy, that's all. He could give a damn less about the Middle East. So whoever put him in power wants their payback. It's one man's opinion. It's only a talk show. Make believe I'm just a loudmouth in a candy store that you don't have to listen to. Go ahead, see if I care. Well, it's the difference between me and a guy in a soapbox in Union Square 70 years ago. A little difference, but after all, we live in a free country. It's one man's opinion. If Peter King, that blowhard, can get up there and lick Obama's boots on a daily basis. Did you hear Peter King, the former Republican, now a gelding from Long Island? You got to hear Peter King now. He's like a little mini-me Chris Christie. Peter King of Long Island has become a mini-me Chris Christie. God only knows why. Listen to clip number one.
The threat is, it's two. One, I think chemical weapons are a threat to everyone. Once that line has been crossed, that puts the entire world at risk as far as the threshold being crossed.
Oh, nonsense.
Has to be taken. But more than that, is this will so strengthen Iran, you will have almost this axis of Iran and Syria.
Domino theory.
The entire Middle East. Because then you have Iraq in there, and Iraq is giving its airspace to Iran. So if we don't stop this right now, I see just Iran becoming the dominant power.
You see red becoming a dominant power in the Middle East. So here we go with the domino theory again. All over again. Suddenly it's 1969. It's unbelievable to me. Nothing changes in this country. And I'm Michael Savage, and I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Now, under the Constitution, the president has the right to take action, I believe. And they've done it going back to Ronald Reagan with Grenada. They said Eisenhower with Lebanon. We can go back to President Clinton in Bosnia and Kosovo. He went ahead. He can do it. He has the constitutional right to do it.
What a shame. I used to think Peter King was the real McCoy. And now I find out he's nothing. He's a mini-me Chris Christie. It's amazing to me. What the heck is Obama offering these guys that they become such embarrassments to themselves? Forget about us. No opposition to what Obama's doing from one Republican that I know of. You know, Dennis Kucinich, who is as far left as they come, who was an object of ridicule on my show for many years because I thought he was a loop-a-doodle. Like, you know, a Fruit Loop. A Fruit Loop-a-doodle out of a box. You know, but Dennis Kucinich gave a speech that I almost agree with every word. I don't know what's going on in the world, that everything the man said seemed correct. Kucinich said that airstrikes on Syria would turn the U.S. into al-Qaeda's air force, told the Hill newspaper. The outspoken anti-war activist said any such action would plunge the U.S. into another war in the Middle East and embolden Islamist militants fighting Bashar Assad's regime. So what we're about to become... He said, so we're about to become al-Qaeda's air force now, Kucinich said. This is a very, very serious matter that has broad implications. And to try to minimize it by saying we're just going to have a targeted strike, that's an act of war. It's not anything to be trifled with. The comments echo warnings from Senator Rand Paul R. Kentucky, who voted against legislation to arm the Syrian rebels earlier this year by saying such a move would boost al-Qaeda. Kucinich also said President Obama would be violating the Constitution if he doesn't get congressional approval before taking any military action in Syria. You're damn right he would be. You're damn right he would be, the same way Bush violated the Constitution, by the way. They all have done it. Where are the liberals today? At least Kucinich is true to his belief system. And I respect the man who is. I'm true to my belief system. I hope you respect my opinion. But here's a liberal, a leftist, rather, Dennis Kucinich, an anti-war man who is fuming that Obama is about to launch a missile strike on Syria. He said the administration is rushing to what's become World War III. He may be listening to my show, I don't know. Sounds like my show from a Monday. This is being used as a pretext, he said. The verdict is in before the facts have been gathered. What does that tell you? He also attacked John Kerry, the ketchup man. So we have a very serious problem on our hands here. There's almost no oversight of the president. It's a violation of our Constitution. It's a violation of the separation of powers that is delineated in the Constitution. Many are seeing that. It's unbelievable to me. Where are the other liberals? Where's Bobby Baxter?
Where's the big bad Barbara Baxter? Where's she? Where's she today, Barbara Baxter? Where's Barbara Baxter? Where's Dianne Feinstein? On a junket to China to see if they can move a few other products back and forth? Where is she? Where are all of the decent liberals? There are none. That's an oxymoron, decent and liberal, in one paragraph. It's in one encyclopedia, it's too much. So I've asked you four questions tonight. Why is the U.S. threatening and likely to attack Syria? What will the targets be? Who is pushing Obama to go to war? And I'll give you the answers, which I've done already. It can all be summarized in one word, Israel. That's my opinion. All the evidence leans to Israel, and they're going to do it Friday night when the nation slept. That's all, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just as you can't stop Obama from flooding America with 50 to 60 million non-citizens to take away your birthright forever and destroy America's sovereignty, you can't stop him from going to war because we have a dictatorship with no opposition party and no opposition press. Period, end of story. Goodbye, Charlie. Russia now sounds more peace-loving and more rational than the United States. You listen to Kerry. He speaks unequivocally about bombing Syria as though he knows for certain what's going on and that bombing is the answer. And then you read what the Russian foreign minister writes and you say, who is the clear-headed individual and which nation is on a more steady course? Russia warned the United States on Sunday against repeating past mistakes, meaning Iraq, saying that any unilateral military action in Syria would undermine efforts for peace and have a devastating impact on the security situation in the Middle East. The Russian Foreign Ministry said its statement was a response to U.S. actions to give it the option of an arms strike against Syria. And it drew a parallel between reports Syrian President Assad's forces had used chemical weapons and Washington's 03 intervention in Iraq following accusations by then-President George Bush's administration that Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's government possessed weapons of mass destruction. So I ask you again, do you find yourself in agreement with our administration or with Putin? Is it possible for us to really know what's going on there? Now, if we don't really know what's going on there, why are we bombing? Why we're bombing first and then we're going to find out later we were wrong? Is that what you'd like to see? Who's going to benefit by that? America? Where is our national interest in Syria? You liberals are now warmongers. Again, all over again, the liberals are calling for bombing Syria. Isn't it interesting? And the conservatives like me, Michael Savage, are against it. How does that work? So who's the real liberal and who's the real conservative? Who's the real peace lover and who's the real warmonger here? John Kerry again? The peacenik John Kerry is for bomb, bomb, bomb. We've got to kill for peace. He didn't learn anything from Vietnam. And McCain, that strange Dr. Strangelove? Something is wrong. Let's take your calls now. WMAL in Washington. Greg, you're on the Savage Nation.
This is absolutely Israel causing all this trouble. When they were threatened supposedly by Iran, the only way that they could actually have the United States attack Iran is by having the United States attack Syria first.
Now, so you think that by dragging the U.S. into an attack on Assad, the next target will be Iran because Iran will react to this and then they'll say we had to act on Iran. Is that it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really truly do believe that's what's happening. I mean,
now, I want to put this in context. I don't think you've ever called a show before. I don't recognize your voice. You're listening to me on the Powerhouse MAL in Washington, D.C. Would you identify yourself as a conservative or as a liberal?
I'm pretty much a conservative, but I'm very much libertarian because I don't believe in either party, neither Republican or Democrat.
Is that what's drawn you to my show?
Yes, sir. I've been listening to your show actually just about a year. And ever since I first heard it, I couldn't stop listening, sir.
Well, all right. I thank you for the call. I've got a lot of independent listeners. Before the word independent was on the lips of the those who do the limbo, you know, going under the bamboo stick, they all do the limbo together. They were all diehard Republicans when the Republicans were in power. Now they're all anti-Republican and buy my rug. They're anti-Republican, but buy my toupee. That's all. We have a special Republican toupee at a low price for you. Oh, my God, look what we have to deal with. It's coming. You'll be on Friday night. My guess is this is how these sneaks do things. Friday night, boom. You know, I've heard planes moving. I told you I live on San Francisco Bay, right? I live right on the water in one of the places I stay in. And I'm near a few Air Force bases. And last week I heard some major league rumbling at 4 o'clock in the morning. And I'm very sensitive to sound. I'm as light a sleeper as a wolf. The slightest sound will awaken me out of the deepest sleep. It's unfortunate. That's how my nervous system is. It's on a hair trigger. I reach for the salami sandwich the minute I hear a tingling on the distant wire. So anything wakes me up, but I heard rumbling. I heard a rumbling in the sky. It sounded like rolling thunder. And I don't know whether they were B-2 bombers. I don't know what they were. They were not. And by the way, last weekend, we saw F-A-18 Hornets practicing over San Francisco Bay, which is unusual because Obama canceled Fleet Week so he can party in Martha's Vineyard and have some clam chowder soup with the family. You know, he had to save on something, so why not cancel the Blue Angels? So what were they practicing for? I don't know. What's the military maneuvers going on in the Bay Area, I asked myself. The bombers, I thought, were just moving over to the Middle East. That's what I thought. I'm not Tokyo Rose giving away secret information.
Savage.
War. You got to kill for peace. We heard it in Vietnam. We heard it in Bush. Now we're hearing it from the peace-loving, Nobel Prize-winning Barack Hussein Obama. All week long, how it seems this administration is the war party diving headfirst into action against Syria. But we're not even sure if all the information is correct. We don't know who launched the chemical weapons. You know, when Bush took us into Iraq, the left wing screamed that it was illegal and we didn't know if the WMDs existed. Right. But now that Obama is in charge, it's go, 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 and it seems most of the media is going along with the war drums, left and right. Well, joining us right now in the Savage Nation is Tim Stanley with the Telegraph.UK, who is saying that we need to slow down and take a look at what's really going on before we rush into war. And I agree with him, by the way. I've been saying that for weeks now. Tim Stanley, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
It's good to be with you.
Tim, one of the questions that I've been bringing up is why would Assad use chemical weapons the week that the United Nations inspectors are on the ground while he is winning the war? He has nothing to gain. The only one who is going to gain is Al-Qaeda. And he's also risking U.S. intervention. It makes no sense. It's all a lie.
I don't know the answer to that question. It's something that doesn't make any sense to me. So it looks as though someone has used chemical weapons. And that's what we've been told. And that's what the footage seemed to suggest. And the UN inspectors are trying to get in there to find out what really happened. It's very hard for them to do, by the way, because they're being shot at by both sides, something that Assad can't control. So we know that something terrible happened, not a big surprise, in the middle of a civil war that's just simply awful. What I can't get my head around is why Assad would choose to use chemical weapons at this moment, given that, first of all, Barack Obama laid down a red line of do not use chemical weapons or we will intervene. And secondly, why would Assad use chemical weapons and invite an intervention at the point when he started to win the war? If he is close to winning, if he's got the backing of Russia, if he's been told by the rest of the world, basically, don't use chemical weapons and you can continue and win this war, why would he then use chemical weapons? It's possible that he's mad. It's possible that he's illogical. It's possible that he has no control over his army. But if you weigh everything up, it just seems unlikely that the Syrian government would, at this moment in the conflict, suddenly go insane and invite a response by using chemical weapons.
Now, but John Kerry has come out and stated that he knows for sure that Assad was the one responsible for the chemical attack.
Well, if he has proof of this, if John Kerry has proof that that chemical weapons were used and that Assad ordered their use, then we invite him to give us that evidence. We actually have to see the evidence, first of all. We're not going to take it on face value. We're not going to take it on his word alone. And I'll tell you why not. First of all, because the UN inspectors have not got in there yet and confirmed that. And by the way, even when the UN inspectors do get in, all they will be able to tell us is whether or not chemical weapons were used. They're not mandated to say who used them. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that we have history of U.S. Secretaries of State telling us that they have brilliant intelligence that confirms the presence of weapons of mass destruction. That's what Colin Powell did in 2003, and it turned out that the evidence was wrong. So on the basis of that, and that led to Iraq, and that led to a horrendous war in the Middle East, we don't want to repeat that, why should the public in Britain or France or America take John Kerry's word at face value? We've got to see what evidence he has. Frankly, I'm unconvinced at this stage that he could have evidence that strong.
Do you feel we're being guilted into action against our better interests? I do.
I agree entirely. I think what the media and what politicians are doing is they are adopting that tone, first of all, of asserting the humanitarian cause behind this war. We shouldn't be unsympathetic to that. There is a humanitarian crisis. We could be doing more to help. I'd like my country, Great Britain, to take more refugees. I'd like us to intervene in humanitarian terms. Nothing against that, but they are stressing the humanitarian angle and playing that up in order to make us feel guilty. And then, more importantly, they're talking in terms of inevitability. Now, the British and the French are doing this more strongly than Obama, who I think has been pushed quite hard by my government, by David Cameron, the Prime Minister of Britain, to intervene. But in the British government, they are holding a debate in Parliament to discuss whether or not we should go in, and yet they are already approaching the UN with their case for why we should go in. So they're talking about it in terms that it's something unavoidable. This is something we have to do, and that's nonsense. It's nonsense because we are none of us by treaty to respond when someone uses chemical weapons. And in the case of the United States, there is absolutely no constitutional reason why America has to respond when someone uses chemical weapons. Chemical weapons are illegal, but those are grounds for us demanding that Assad be arrested and tried internationally. I'm all in favor of that. But it does not have an automatic trigger for war, and yet politicians on both sides of the Atlantic are acting like it does.
Polls here in the U.S. show that the public is absolutely against this action. Only 9% support it. How about overseas?
We don't have good polling on it yet, but I think the overwhelming view is that this is a bad action. And in fact, from very early from what you might call qualitative polling, from journalists speaking to people in the street, the British reaction seems to be not only that we should not go in, but also that they do not trust the rebels, that they're not in favor of us siding with a group of people we know so little about, some of whose coalition includes extremists financed by outside forces. So if you put a vote to the people, I think the people on both sides of the Atlantic would automatically vote against that. Of course, that's not how democracy works in Britain. It's got to be decided by Parliament. I'm all in favor of that. And if they vote the wrong way, people should vote those MPs out next time round. But definitely, overwhelmingly, people do not see this as a conflict that affects our national interest, and people overwhelmingly feel that this could only create more trouble and not actually help the people on the ground.
Well, given the reactions of our gutless, warmongering politicians, do you agree with me that war is inevitable?
My hope is that what this is all leading to is a last-minute action by Russia and the announcement of talks. I think that's where the momentum is going towards now. If this is going to be resolved, it's going to be resolved because Russia says to Syria, you now have to talk. And it's possible that that's what Cameron and Obama are gambling on. But right here, right now, speaking to you at this moment, particularly from the vantage point of Britain, war just feels inevitable. And what that will mean, well, we'll have to find out. But wars like this tend to start in very small ways, and they can become quagmires.
Tim, where can we read more?
You can read more at the Telegraph website on Telegraph blogs.
Tim Stanley, thanks for telling the truth and for again standing up on the Savage Nation.
That's a pleasure.
I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Did you see the story that came out on MichaelSavage.com about the headlines? It's unbelievable. Those of you who have been hoodwinked into thinking your child needs special ed when they don't, those of you who have been told your child has ADD when they don't, in order to peddle a drug, the doctor should rot in hell for doing it to you. You got to see this story. Boy diagnosed ADD on a track to win a Nobel Prize. The mother noticed that the special ed program was making him crazy. The drugs were imprisoning him and putting him into a straitjacket. And after she pulled the boy out of special ed, he started to thrive. And he's on the way to winning a Nobel Prize. It's the second of the lead story on Michael Savage. Here's another headline for those of you who love bums. South Carolina City makes being homeless illegal. Hey. They're calling the bums what they are? Bums? Criminal bums in the gutter? I can't go to San Francisco anymore. I cannot go downtown San Francisco. I can't take the filth, the fecal matter, the urine, the bums, the threats. But the liberal bums who run the city won't do anything about it. They ought to make homelessness illegal in San Francisco. Maybe I'll go back. It's getting worse by the day. I mean, when are we going to have a typhus epidemic break out here, I want to know? We already have a crack epidemic in the streets. Here's another one. Teen rapes a 93-year-old grandmother. I'm allowed to mention the race of the two parties, or that's illegal in America today? Teen rapes 93-year-old grandmother. I can't mention the race of the parties because it might offend some of your sensibilities. Rape victim 93 bravely speaks out after she was attacked by 17-year-old boy who kicked in back door of her home as she slept. A 17-year-old boy. Oh, there's a picture of the young man, of the young, the gentleman. Ekwesi Taylor from Anderson, Indiana, has been charged with rape, burglary, and strangulation. Apparently, it happened in Indiana. I'm sorry, it wasn't published in America. Oh, they don't let it be published here, I see. Ekwesi Taylor of Anderson, Indiana, was charged as an adult on Monday after the July 16th attack on Amelia Rudolph in her home. Mail Online does not normally name victims of sexual assault, but Mrs. Rudolph participated in a police news conference after Anderson, Ekwesi Taylor, was charged with rape, burglary, criminal confinement, and strangulation. I don't know how he let the woman live. It's sad. It's sickening. He should, if he actually did this, the punishment should be castration. That would be the proper punishment. Castration. 93-year-old woman raped by a 17-year-old boy. Again, not one word from Obama or the race mongers in America. Now let's go back to the big story of the day. And we're talking about something extremely important, which is war. And what's shocking to me, but understandable really at the same time, is that all of the peace-loving liberals are in favor of bombing Assad in Syria, while conservatives like Michael Savage are opposed to war. How does that figure? How does that work? I thought I was the warmonger. I thought you twisted liberals love peace and you blew bubbles into the assault weapons of the enemy. You know, I had a man on the show last week named Malid Shubat, former Muslim Brotherhood member, former PLO member, jailed by the Israelis, who's now a peace activist. He speaks and reads Arabic because he's of Arab descent. And he published an article that says the following: evidence, Syrian rebels use chemical weapons, not Assad, by Walid Shubat and Ben Barak. And I'll read it to you. Recent news of a chemical weapons attack in Syria smacks of desperation. The question comes down to who is most desperate right now, the Assad regime or the Muslim Brotherhood rebels? Consider that since June, Assad's forces have been winning. According to a CBS News report from last month, victories for the rebels have become increasingly rare. Okay, now we go down in the article. And here's what he says. This is from a Washington Times article by Sean Waterman dated May 6, 2013. And this was the last allegation of chemical weapons use. Quote, testimony from victims strongly suggests it was the rebels, not the Syrian government, that used sarin nerve gas during a recent incident in the Revolution Iraq nation, a senior UN diplomat said Monday. This is from May. Carla Del Ponte, a member of the UN Independent International Commission of Inquiry on Syria, told Swiss TV there were strong concrete suspicions, but not yet incontrovertible proof, that rebels seeking to oust Syrian strongman Bashar al-Assad had used the nerve agent. But she said her panel had not yet seen any evidence of Syrian government forces using chemical weapons, according to the BBC. That was then. And then Shobot goes on and says, today, while the rebels are more desperate than they were at the time of the article, evidence of rebels using chemical weapons is available. Evidence Assad's regime has used them is not. So, you know, who are you going to believe here? John Kerry, who's never been known to tell the truth? It's a long story. I can't read you anymore, but I want to conclude it with this. Earlier this month in Egypt, Muslim Brotherhood supporters were caught behaving as victims of oppression at the hands of the military. They might have gotten away with it if nothing but still shots were taken. Unfortunately for these miscreants, video was recorded that revealed a staged mass display of despicable behavior. Syria's Muslim Brotherhood rebels would never get away with launching chemical weapons and taking credit for it. They have to do so while blaming Assad. It's straight out of the Nazi playbook and a violation of two major commandments: thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not bear false witness. However, the Muslim Brotherhood, as usual, provides more evil spin. It bears false witness while committing murder in order to push an agenda. Lying, bearing false witness, blood libel, and murder. He concludes, yes, that smells like the Brotherhood. And that is why, my friends, I say, why should you believe Kerry and McCain? They're warmongers. And so Obama is, of course, building up for a strike against Syria. We all know that. Why is the U.S. threatening likely to attack Syria? In other words, why? Let's say, okay, it's an international. Let's say he's correct, which I'm not sure he is, that it was Assad himself who did it, because there are many, many people arguing that there was no validity to that for one reason. First of all, he's winning the war. Secondly, UN inspectors were on the ground when the attack allegedly occurred. And thirdly, it was likely to benefit not him, but his opponents. So, number one, why is the U.S. threatening and likely to attack Assad's military? Two, what will the targets be? He can't attack chemical weapons. If he does, they're going to explode and disseminate. So what will he attack? Civilian targets? I doubt it. So what will he attack? Military targets. Aha. That leads us to the next question. Using my Aristotelian logic, who is pushing Obama to go to war? Now, I'll give you a quote from Russian Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Rogozin when he said just yesterday, quote, the West handles the Islamic world the way a monkey handles a grenade. Where the heck is Congress? Clinton violated the Constitution when he launched an air war against Serbia, an unconstitutional war crime. Millions of people marched against Clinton's illegal bombing, the war crime conducted by Madeleine Albright and Bill Clinton, against Serbia to steal Kosovo from Serbia. Now we have it again. So they're out to steal Syria from Syria, to take Syria from the Syrians and do with it as they will. So now what's going on is interesting, very interesting to me. Obama's pretending he's studying the issue carefully and he's going to do a very thoughtful... They know when they're launching to the second already. It'll be Friday night when you're asleep after a drunken barbecue for Labor Day weekend. They have it calculated with their friends from Hollywood and the PR business. You know, while America slept, they launched the war. They do everything Friday night. It's like a document dump. But Britain, 10 minutes ago this just came out, 10 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, you're getting the latest news from Michael Savage. 10 minutes ago, Britain said before it would sign on to strikes in Syria, this morning it already signed on. Already, Cameron was signing on already. Before it would endorse strikes in Syria, Britain signaled it would await the findings of a UN inquiry into a suspected chemical attack and hold a parliamentary vote. That's like democracy. Parliamentary vote, let's hear the inspection, then we decide. I mean, what's the rush? Syria is a weakened nation, so you can't wait two more days, Mr. Obama? You're that anxious to pull the trigger on another event to wipe away all your scandals? It's frightening to me. So then the New York Times writes, on Syria, a drumbeat with some echoes of Iraq. Oh, how clever. West debates legal rationale for Syria strike. There is no legal rationale. None whatsoever. It is going to happen. Russia will do jack. China will do nothing. And Iran will launch missiles against Israel. Israel will say we're attacked. Now you have to go and take out Iran's nukes. It's the taking of Pelham 1-2-3. That's the chess game as I see it. Yeah, I see it coming. Do I think it will lead to World War III? Truthfully, no. I do not think China and Russia are foolish enough. They're not as foolish as America. They're not as wild as America in their actions. They're much more calculated in their movements. And they have nothing to gain by doing it. Obama, on the other hand, is more of a cowboy than Bush. You know, this I knew from day one. You know, you thought he was Mr. Peacenik. He has a few agenda items to neutralize the opposition in this country. He threw them gay marriage. They shut their mouths and go do what they wanted and not say anything to him when he bombed Syria. So he's neutralized that audience. Then he's going to throw the bone of 50 million illegal aliens to shut them up. So who's left? America, but America doesn't exist to Obama. The America that you know and you love doesn't exist to Barack Obama. And he doesn't give a damn what you think about him. He owns Chris Christie. He owns Peter King. He owns John Boehner. He owns the putative Republican Party, which doesn't really exist. So I started the show tonight. One, why is the U.S. threatening and likely to attack Syria? What will the targets be? Who is pushing Obama to go to war? And then I gave you the answer. I suspected this for weeks now. I suspected it, but I didn't want to say it because I felt that I would go onto a black book of suddenly everything would come bad onto me. If I dared say it all leads back to Israel, I thought that anything I might have gained in the world thus far would suddenly be taken away from me. And I hope I'm wrong. Israeli intelligence first confirmed Assad regime behind alleged chemical attack. So at that point, I said, okay, My worst suspicions are that it was Israel all along pushing the United States to take out Assad's air force, to completely defang him, so then they'd only have to face the terrorist brigades, let's put it to you that way, who have no planes, no tanks, no heavy weapons, no artillery. They have small weapons, and they can neutralize them with one airplane. It's a very depressing scenario. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm never wrong.
Savage.